And as I mentioned already, it's good to see each and every one of you today, and thank you for being here in church. It's good to see Austin Kaylee up there with the little one, youngest of the church here, and thank the Lord for the little one that God has blessed their family with. And speaking of little ones, I got to see Andy and Stephanie's little grandson back here, and so he's doing good. He's of the younger age here in the department and in this department as well, and a great grandson of a couple back there also. And so we're thankful for the Lord that folks are here today. We're enjoying getting to see folks this wonderful time about holidays. I want to preach this morning, as you might imagine, on Thanksgiving. Everything, yes, everything is the title of my message about when the scripture says that we are supposed to give thanks in all things, in everything the Bible says. If you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, we'll begin our reading there in one verse, and we'll preach all from that verse and maybe go a few other places, but we'll just tear that verse apart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. While you're finding your place there, I did hear this story about this fellow that went to the doctor and had gotten bit by a dog and had end up having rabies, and the doctors told him the guy was all upset. He was very, very distraught, of course, and just had his head in his hands there, and then he took his head out of his hands. He started writing something down, and the doctor said, listen, he said, we're going to be able to fix you. It'll be painful, some of the treatments and things. We'll be able to fix you. And but the guy kept on writing, and the doctor said, listen, it's rabies. You're going to be okay. What are you writing, your last will and your last testament? He said, no, I'm writing down a list of people I want to bite. So don't be on that list, I guess. So be thankful for everything, the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18 says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's on the heels of rejoice evermore, verse 16, pray without ceasing. And then it goes on to say, quench not the spirits, despise not prophecies, just for some instructions on holy living. And on this holiday, many we'll be traveling this week. We move the service from Wednesday to Tuesday to give a little extra flexibility as folks go to visit friends and things and family. So I want you to be praying one for another. It's good to have some college young folks will be in. My son's in today, and it's good to have others that will be traveling in with us this week, and we pray for safety as they go. But as we look into this week, I want to preach about this verse, in everything give thanks. A lot of people come and say, Pastor, excuse me, I want to know what the will of God is. And usually what they mean is, who am I supposed to marry? Where am I supposed to live? Or what job am I supposed to take? And oftentimes you can't tell those specific things, because those are one of those things you just kind of have to let the Lord lead as He guides and guides through His Word, but then also guides through other circumstances and other counselors and whatnot. But here the Bible says what the will of God is. And I want to preach for a little while and trust in the Lord to help me. I read years ago of Enrico Caruso. He was an Italian opera singer, and he was famous. He died in the early 20s, 1921, I believe it was. But he stayed in the Schenley Hotel in Pittsburgh. At the time, it was a marvel. It was the tallest building there, had steel structure, which was odd in that area. And so Pittsburgh steel was getting, as it was built late in the 1800s, they used steel to build it. And it was a marvel for the day. And he stayed there at the most famous hotel in the area. He was given a twin bed with only one mattress. You'd say, well, what does that matter? Well, he had given strict instructions, and I quote, 18 pillows, 3 mattresses, or no concert. He was somewhat of a demanding fellow, I suppose. So at 1:30 in the early morning, as he was trying to come in and found his room was not equipped like he had instructed, the staff, all that they could rummage together, they were ransacking that hotel trying to find all that he demanded, or else no concert the next day. You know, we get pretty demanding, don't we? The Bible says, in everything give thanks. And then we act as if we're going to have to find something that is new that we're going to be able to be thankful for. My friend, you left more at your home than we ever deserve. When you pulled out of your driveway today, many of you hit the garage door button and the garage door opened and you drove out, backed out, and left your house full of things that we don't deserve. We've got enough to be thankful for. If we never got another item in this world, we got enough to be thankful for to take the next 2 weeks to tell again and again what it is that God has blessed us with. But the truth is, we have a hard time being thankful because as quick as we get something, we become accustomed to having it. How many of you enjoyed the furnace in your house last night? Yeah. At this time, you're wishing, why didn't I have that winter home in Florida? You enjoyed the food that was plenty of it in your pantry. You enjoyed all the things that God has blessed us with. But as the song said, some would thank the Lord for different stuff. But my friend, the greatest thing that you ought to thank Him for today is salvation. Amen. You and I are the worst of the worst. Oh, Brother John, I'm not the worst of the worst. Let's not squabble over who gets the worst tag. Let's just say none of us are worthy. We all look at other people that are the lowest level of society and we say, well, at least we're not that bad. The only bad thing is we're not judged according to that person. We're judged against the righteousness of a holy God. And so the reason that we ought to be thankful this morning is because God saw fit to provide salvation for you and for me. So if you'd give me the next 15 minutes, I want to preach to you for a little while about that. Everything, yes, everything. In 1863, President Lincoln combined all of the Thanksgiving celebrations that were at various times. President Washington had made a proclamation about Thanksgiving and being sometime in November, but it changed from week to week and different sections of the country celebrated at different times. Well, President Lincoln, at the behooving of Sarah Hale, a lady that had, a widow, had written thousands of letters to local and federal lawmakers to try to get a Thursday in November to be Thanksgiving. Many people call her the godmother of Thanksgiving. Her letters helped get it unified, and later in the 1920s, sometime I believe it was, Congress officially put it as the fourth Thursday of November, so that the fifth Sunday or fifth Thursday, when there is one, is a little too close to Christmas. And so we as a nation have Thanksgiving. You know why it's wonderful for me to think about Thanksgiving? Because if we're going to have Thanksgiving, that means that thanks has got to be given to someone. You can't say you're blessed without there being a blesser. You can't give thanks without somebody being the recipient of the thanks. And I'm grateful for a country that still has Thanksgiving, because even in its inception, it brings across the fact that there's someone that we're giving thanks to. And so as we look at this morning, I want to give you a few points, about four out of this verse. Number one, I see this, it's a complete command in everything. It's amazing how God paints every part of your life with a broad brush. And He says, now in all those things, give thanks to me. I can already hear the sighs from you and from myself saying, you want me to thank God for everything? How about death of a loved one? How about cancer? How about problems that come through? How about all of these other things? By faith, we've got to realize that even when things look bad, God can and still is working. You may not get to a place where you say, well, I'm thankful for that, but you can be thankful in that. In everything, give thanks. In the midst of the worst situation you've ever imagined, in everything, give thanks. In 1840s, London, England was a rather rowdy place. Industrial Revolution going on, and people, boys, were moving from the farms and moving from the agricultural areas into the cities because there was plenty of work and there was plenty of industry. But the problem was there was plenty of work and plenty of industry, but not much morals, because when those boys left everything that morality was at home, they left mom, they left dad, they left grandpa, they left their churches, they left everything, and they came to the city. And you get that many young people that would come together for work, and then in the evenings, in the off times, they've got to do something. And London got to be a pretty rank place because there are so many young people with all that was going on in their lives, and the bars and brothels and all that were just running over with people. You say, what's so good about that? Well, there was a man that decided that he wanted to do something about it. He wanted to make an association. George Williams started the first association in that area. It was going to be an association to put forth Christian character, to put forth athletics, to give people, young boys, something to do that was profitable. He started the Young Men's Christian Association. You've been past plenty of them. They're the YMCA. And its very origins, it was to promote Christian values, to give young men a place to come that would be profitable, would be helpful, to have Bible studies, and then also to do physical exercise. So in everything, we can find things to thank the Lord for. In everything, the Bible says, a complete command. Not only do I see a complete command, but I want you to look at, again at the verse, in everything give, it's an active command. Give in everything. We're supposed to do something. Now listen, for you and I not to complain is not the same thing as thanksgiving. Because you can be complaining on the inside, you just didn't verbalize it. You husbands know what that's like. You want to say something, but you know your existence depends on you being quiet. Well, for you not to complain, you say, well, I didn't say anything. Well, there's a difference between saying, one person put it like this, well, says, I'm not going to cuss, but if somebody wrote some words down, I'd sign my name to it. There's a difference between not complaining and giving thanks. The Bible gives an active command that we're supposed to do something. Somebody said it like this, the world's in three groups of people. One group make things happen. One group watches things happen. The third group wonders what just happened. God commands us to make something happen. You may not be an outspoken person. You may not be one that naturally looks on the good things, but the Scripture commands you this morning to be active in your thanksgiving. In everything, give. The Bible says about John, in John 3:16, our most famous verse, I suppose, in Scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave. He did something. And God gives us an active command. Well, preacher, I'm just not a real outspoken person. I just don't tell my wife the good things that she does. I just don't tell my husband what he does good. You should get good at it. In everything, give. That's an action. That's not a casual, passive command. That's an action. In everything, give thanks. So I see not only is it a complete command and an active command, but I also see it as a positive command. Look further in the verse. For in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. God's very clear on this. I already mentioned it, so I won't belabor the point. But people often want to know, well, what's the will of God for my life? I don't know what house you should buy or what car you should get or where you should invest some money. I don't know all those things, but I do know this is the will of God. You're supposed to be a thanksgiver. You say, I know, but some people are just better at it. That's true. They've got a head start on some of the rest of us, but that doesn't exempt the rest of us. We're supposed to be actively giving God thanks. That's a positive command. It is the will of God in your life. And so if you're not good at thanking God for things, I'm challenging you this morning to get good at it. I'm challenging you to do this very day, that you put yourself to the test and you start thanking God. You may be somebody who looks on the negative things, and God put all of our emotions in us. We are who God has made us to be. But just because He made us this way doesn't mean we're not supposed to stretch out our legs and get better at some things. So maybe you are one that always looks on the negative side. I'm challenging you today to get good at finding something to thank God for. I'm reminded of that grandma who always had something that was positive to say about people. And her grandson said, "Mama, you'd find something good to say even about the devil." And she said, "Well, he is persistent." My friend, I'm saying that in everything give thanks. It's a positive command that you and I are supposed to be engaged in. If you find it hard, exercise. If you want to do something that you're not currently able to, what do you have to do? You have to work at it. We all know the old saying, practice makes what? That's not true. Practice just makes you better than what you used to be. So you may not be good at it, but practice it. You can practice on the people around you. You can practice it on your husband. You can practice on your kids. You can practice it on them, but you ultimately want to give thanks to the Lord. It's an active command. It's a positive command. But then I want to get down to the end of it. It's the personal command. Look again at the verse. It says, "This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning the other people in the church." No, concerning you. It's a very personal command. Up till now, we've been pretty broad in saying that we ought to be a thankful people, and we should. But God's going to put His finger on you and I, and He's going to say, it's concerning you. You know, when you got saved, when you realized that the message of the gospel wasn't just for mankind. The message of the gospel was for you. And God shined that wonderful spotlight from heaven on you and showed you, and you got saved. Well, the same thing happens in our spiritual growth. When we look at the things in the Scripture and we see them not as a general command to everybody, we look at the things in the Scripture as a specific command for this child of God. And I see a personal command of God, command, this is the will of God concerning you. You've got to get some skin in the game. You've got to get proactive your own self and start it. Like the story of the farmer that was going out of business, he thought, but he was going to try to make one last-ditch effort and try to get some extra money funding from the bank, and he was going to have the banker, a couple of them, out for breakfast. And so he had sent him a note and said this is what he was going to have, and the animals were all worried, and they said, "Well, what are we going to do about this? The pig said to the chicken, and the chicken was talking to the others. Said, "It's going to be what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" He said, "That's all right. The farmer's got it all settled down. He's going to have bacon and eggs for breakfast sometime, and he's going to have the banker out, and he's going to try to convince the banker that we can stay in business, and there's still a market for our farm." And the pig was so upset, and the chicken said, "What's wrong? The banker's going to come out here. He's going to be excited, and the farmer's going to make it all okay." And the pig said, "Yeah, you're right. Did you notice what we're having for breakfast? Bacon and eggs?" And the chicken said, "Yeah, it's going to be great, isn't it?" He said, "Yeah, but the farmer's asking for a contribution from you. He's asking for a sacrifice from me. I'm asking for a sacrifice from you." The Bible says that it's the will of God concerning you. The pig had a whole lot more invested in the breakfast than the chicken did. And sometimes we're good at church sitting around and saying, "Oh yeah, we ought to all be thankful. We ought to all take care of those things." And not letting it settle down in on me. My friend, it's a personal command for you. So today, what are you thankful for? We're trusting that you're thankful for salvation, as Brother Dan led us in that, thinking about how we're saved. Many of us were thankful for children, others thankful for a spouse. And you ever go down the list of different things that you're thankful for? almost like somebody put it in a song, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. If you're prone to look on the negative side of life, I'm challenging you to make this Thanksgiving yours. I'm challenging you to make it a personal command from God that I'm supposed to be thankful. You say, but preacher, I don't have what so-and-so has, and so-and-so doesn't have what somebody else has. You understand how that's a moving target if we're looking at stuff? But salvation has been given to each and every one of us. If you have nothing on this earth that's got your name as the title owner of it, and you've got Jesus, you are rich beyond compare. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as I mentioned, you already know about Him, but you've never had the spotlight shined on you to where you realize that you're the reason that Jesus came to this earth. This morning, let me be the one to tell you that you are the reason that Jesus came to this earth. You, my friend, are the one that Jesus died on that old rugged cross for. You say, why would He go through such shame and such embarrassment and pain and separation? He went through all that because if He had not, then you would be responsible for every sin, every wrong that you've ever done. And Jesus loved you too much. He didn't want you to be held accountable for that. He didn't want you to be responsible. So He died on the cross in your place. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your personal Savior to be the forgiver of your sins, can I tell you that's why this church stands here? If you're listening on radio, that's why we go to the expense of putting on the radio so that we could tell everyone the message of Jesus Christ. And everybody can be thankful this morning because Jesus came to the earth to save you. And if you're not sure that you've received Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then today it should be the red letter day of your life. You understand that this morning. You should call upon Christ and ask Him to forgive your sins and take you to heaven. Put your faith in Jesus. And then you would have something forevermore to be thankful for, not on Thanksgiving Day, but for always. So what are you thankful for this morning? Are you thankful for salvation? Are you thankful for friends and family? This morning, let me read the verse to you one more time. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask You to make it very clear to everyone in this room, if they are not sure heaven's their home, they are not sure that Jesus is their Savior, I pray to Your Lord that they would make certain of that today. Here's the invitation. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Here's the invitation. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, in just a moment we'll stand. We have somebody down here. Brother Daniel will be right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Please don't leave without getting that settled. You don't even know what Thanksgiving is without being able to be thankful for heaven. And then some of the rest of us, it's time that we take it personal. It's time that we start being thankful. It's time that we quit looking on the negative every time something comes up. It's time that we start thanking God for all that He's given us. It's a way of life, and I pray we get involved in it in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for this day. May You continue to work on the hearts of people. Well, thank You for it. Would you stand together as the instruments play? As they play, if God's speaking to your heart, would you come? Maybe you need to come and say, God, I want to be a more thankful somebody. This is the season for that. You say, I shouldn't need a season for it. Well, maybe not, but it's a good reminder. Would you come and pray? Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. You're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be certain you're on your way to heaven? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God, you believe, has led you to do that. Would you come, present yourself for membership, and we'll set meeting with you this week, even this holiday week, and get any questions answered that you have, and maybe you'd like to join the church. Maybe you need to be baptized. You're saved, but you've never been baptized since you got saved. But you'd like to follow Christ in believer's baptism. You'd like to show everybody who would watch, I'm a believer in Christ. That's what baptism is. It's a proclamation. It's identification. You're identifying with Christ. Maybe you've never been baptized since you got saved, but you'd like to. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Whatever your need is, we have these moments. We'll never regain them. They'll never be come back again. May we do what God wants us to do in them. The altar's open for everybody. Maybe you're making an altar out of your pew right there, praying and giving some things to the Lord. But perhaps you're standing there just waiting for the dismissal, and certainly nothing wrong with that. While you're there, how about an exercise? Mentally, right there, why don't you tell the Lord, not out loud, you can, I don't care. Tell the Lord the first 15 things in your mind that you're thankful for. That won't take that long. Some of you can go up and down the pew 3 or 4 or 5, and you can thank God for 6 people right there. Horses are prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You had safety. Some of you drove up around Maniacs on 26 to get over up here. Let's get in the habit of that. How about that? 15 things. If you did that too easy, then add another 5 on there. Just count in your head. Lord, I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my sustenance. Just name some. I can tell you, folks, it's the will of God for your life, for you to be a thankful person. It may not come easy for you. You may naturally look on the negative side of things. That's all right. But you can stretch your legs out, spiritually speaking. You can start becoming thankful. If you're here with somebody and you're not too embarrassed, why don't you turn to him and say, I'm thankful for you. Turn to the other side and tell that person, yeah, I already used it on the guy next to me. You can look this way. How many of you are thankful for somebody in this room? How many of you, they're right beside of you? Why don't you turn to him and tell him, I'm thankful for you. Judy, thank you. Judy got convicted when I said she could thank God for 6 people in a row. She said, there's more than that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God's good to us, folks. Better to us than we deserve. You realize, I didn't preach this, but you realize where we deserve to go, right? I mean, my deserved destination, I'm not going there. God's good to us. Is there somebody you forgot to tell you're thankful for? Jared, you tell Mom? Good. Andy, did you tell Stephanie? And your mom? Good. And your grandbaby down the pew? You'll get to him later, won't you? Amen. Larry, did you tell Linda you were thankful for? Good. Did he really? Good. Some of the deacons you have to check up on, make sure they don't lie. One thing to get them here at church, another thing to make them act like Christians, you know. So thank you for being in church this morning. If you're traveling this week, be very, very careful. I really would love for you to come back tonight. I believe God will meet with us with this children's home and challenge you to be back at 6:30. But some of you will be traveling this week. Be careful. We'll be praying one for another. asking the Lord to give safety, protection, and we'll certainly thank Him for His safety and His blessings. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. You're dismissed.